let us be attentive.
Brethren, you are the temple of the living God. As God said, I will live in them and move among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch nothing unclean. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Since we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, and make holiness perfect in the fear of God.
Peace be to you, the leader.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Wisdom arise, let us hear the holy gospel. Peace be with you all.
And with your
the reading is the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Let us be attentive.
Glory to you, O Lord. Glory to you.
The Lord said, and as you wish that men would give to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies, and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you'll be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the ungrateful and the selfish. Be merciful even as your Father.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Question. What do Christians have in common with frogs, newts, and salamanders? Well, as a hint, these animals, as you probably know, are classified as amphibians, from the Greek amphi and vios, meaning a double life. Since they exist both in water and on land. Well, in a very similar manner, Christians are amphibians too. Not because we live, of course, in water and on land, but because we exist in two worlds, on earth and also in heaven at the same time. But while frogs, newts, and salamanders seem to have no trouble living in their two worlds of water and land, it certainly is not so easy for Christians. Amphibian living for us comes with really a large dose, as we know, of tension and struggle. Someone has compared living the Christian life to what a rope feels like, which is being pulled in a tug of war. And, of course, St. Paul was very keen and aware of just how much we are that rope, so often tugged in two opposite directions, upward and downward. On the one hand, he exhorts Christians to, as he says, put to death the sins that pull us down earthward. In Colossians chapter 3, for example, he says, put to death fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul speech. On the other hand, St. Paul continues in this very passage and urges us upwards towards the heavenly life, saying to us, put on as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, love, and thankfulness. This is why the great apostle told us this morning in 2 Corinthians, you are the temple of the living God, therefore come out from them and be separate from them. That is, be separated from the sinful things of the earth that pull us down, so that, as the apostle continues, we may make holiness perfect in the fear of God. The other things to note about amphibians, as I continue on that theme, is that although they exist in, of course, the two environments of water and land, they must always keep themselves moist and wet on their skin. Their skin has to stay wet in order for them to be able to absorb the oxygen that is in the air. Because if they get too dry, then they can't breathe and they die. Again, we can extend this analogy to apply to us. Consider dryness too much earthly living, too much being attached to the things of the world. Attending to the earthly passions of the flesh, as already mentioned by St. Paul, these dry us out spiritually and lead us to a sort of death of the soul. We must remain, quote unquote, wet and moist, we could say, from the dew of the Holy Spirit through living in a way consistent with our heavenly existence, the new existence we received in baptism. If the amphibian stays on the earth too long, it dries out and dies. And so it is with us, metaphorically speaking. We must exist in both worlds at one and the same time. The ancient writer Tertullian, right around the year 200 AD, put it this way. Blessed is our sacrament of water, in that by washing away the sins of our early blindness, we are set free and admitted into eternal life. And we, who are little fishes, after the example of our Ichthys, that is Jesus Christ, are born in water, and we have safety in no other way than by permanently abiding in water. That's what he says. Born in water, that is through baptism, we must remain in that baptismal water. But how? We were born in water, brothers and sisters, that is born again through holy baptism in the world of the Holy Church, in order to no longer live according to this world, but according to the heavenly world where Jesus Christ has gone on before us and paved the way. And what else did Tertullian say to emphasize this once again? Since we received a new mode of being, a new way of existence in water, we must remain in that water. That is, to abide in the water of baptism through the living out of our baptismal life, consistent with the gospel teaching of Jesus Christ. To remain in the baptismal waters of the life of the church, to to remain in the baptismal waters of the mysteries and the sacraments of the church. Make your vows to the Lord our God and perform them, was the prokimen of this morning before the epistle reading, reminding us of our very baptismal vows, to renounce the things of the earth and live according to the divine life of heaven. Sins dry us out, and that leads to death. But the living of the virtues and the commandments of God moistens us and keeps us, so to speak, in that water, the baptismal water, alive and thriving. In fact, call to mind what Jesus commanded us to do this morning, because that is consistent with the heavenly life. As you wish that men would do to you, do so to them. Love your enemies and do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Now, are these things easy? Of course they are not. We are pulled towards the earth so often, not wanting to love our enemies or to give freely without expecting anything in return. But we must struggle and fight this tension, live this tension, knowing that Jesus moistens us with his words of life. Now, knowing that we are both in the world and not of the world, as Christ has said, as amphibians, we could say, living both on earth while also existing in heaven, let us look to the example of some very early Christians, our beloved ancestors in the faith, as described in the ancient epistle to Diognetos. Listen to these beautiful words of describing how Christians lived in the early centuries. Christians display to us their wonderful and confessedly striking way of life. They dwell in their own countries, but simply as sojourners. As citizens, they share in all things with others, and yet endure all things as if foreigners. Every foreign land is to them as their native country, and every land of their birth as a land of strangers. They marry, as do all others. They beget children, but they do not destroy their offspring. They share their food, but not their spouses. They are in the flesh, but they do not live according to the flesh. They pass their days on earth, but they are citizens of heaven. They obey the prescribed laws, and at the same time, they surpass those laws by their very lives. They love all people, and they are persecuted by all. They are unknown and condemned. They are put to death, but restored to life. They are poor, yet make many rich. They are in lack of all things, and yet abound in all things. They are dishonored, and yet they are, in their dishonor, they are glorified. They are evil spoken of, and yet are justified. They are reviled, and they bless. They are insulted, but they repay the insult with honor. They do good, yet are punished as evildoers. When punished, they rejoice as if quickened unto life. They are assailed by the Jews as foreigners, and are persecuted by the Greeks. Yet those who hate them are unable to assign any reason for their hatred. To sum it all up in one word, the epistle concludes, what the soul is in the body, that are Christians in the world. As the soul animates and gives life to the body, Christians give life to the world. And may we too, beloved brothers and sisters, inject this world with the eternal life of heaven. To God be the glory forevermore. Amen.